in Proverbs chapter 16, there's a verse here which really answers all the major questions in life. In verse 4, it says, "The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil." This answers a lot of, God has made all things, number one. Genesis chapter 1, he created the heavens and the earth. And why did he do it? He did it for himself. It was his pleasure, his desire to do this. And even the one who has the evil. Does that mean he wants the evil? No, but he's going to deal with it. Do you see what I mean? He has given mankind, freedom of will. And I think this is the thing that people really struggle with all the time. You and I and everyone else on the planet has freedom of will. And God never violates it. He never makes someone do good. He never makes someone do evil. He has created all things. And he did it for himself. Because what did he want? He wanted the universe. He wanted this planet. He decided to put man on it. And he wanted it because he wanted a family to love. And right from the beginning, they had choice, either to do his word or not to do his word. Right from the very beginning. It's probably one of the greatest gifts God's given to mankind, all mankind. What you do with it is up to you. And as you can see in the news, you've seen it in your life, people choose, and they don't always choose well. But it's their choice. That's a gift from God. In Isaiah 43, see, I pray, I've always prayed, I guess, for myself that I make good choices, that I pray that I do his will. I ask him for his help to do it all the time. I want to do this, but it's a struggle. Have you ever noticed? It's a struggle. And if you don't struggle, then maybe you're the one that ought to be running the show. But I don't know anybody who doesn't struggle with that choice. But it is something that you can win. You can win that war by your own determination. It's not always easy, but you can win, and you do it by your determination. In Isaiah, first of all, it's chapter, I said 43, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why. Yeah, it's 43:7. It says, Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. This is, again, it just reiterates the purpose. God created it, and he wanted it. And why? It's his desire. What's your purpose in life? What's the purpose of being alive? To glorify him. Most people want, what am I doing here? You ever meet those folks? I was one of them, you know, before I learned the scriptures. What's the purpose of life? What am I doing here? There's the answer. It's your choice either to believe it or not. That determines whether you believe or you don't believe. Makes you a believer or I don't believe that. It gets that simple. Our purpose, God's purpose, was to make it for His glory. And that's what we can do. We can walk in it. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Verse 21. This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. You, ladies and gentlemen, are called. You're called. Now, let's forget about the rest of the world. You're called. So, He called you by His name. How important does that make you? I mean, if the President of the United States called the House and asked for Dwayne Kerr, wouldn't we all go, whoa, that's special? Yeah. And you would be curious, what did he call you for? I mean, hey, I don't care. That's the truth. Okay? God has called you by His name. Do you believe that? That's what distinguishes a believer or an unbeliever. Your choice, your freedom of will, your determination. Do you believe that this is the Word of God? Do you? Answer it in your own mind. Then every word within it is there to instruct you, to guide you, to teach you, so that you can live and have what He wants you to have, which, if you've read the book, it's not bad. Not bad at all. Or you choose. You make a deliberate, even a non-choice. I don't want to choose. That's a choice. There's no such thing as being on the fence post. I had one fool tell me, oh, well, I really don't want to learn any more of the Bible because I don't want to be responsible for what I've learned. I learn. Now, that's about as dumb as you can get. I wasn't smart enough to say it to him at the moment. He blew me away. You don't want to know any more about God because you don't want to be responsible for what you're going to learn. That is a choice. That's a choice to stay in darkness. That's a choice to stay in evil. That's a choice not to learn about your Creator, your Father. Not to understand your calling. It's a choice. There's no such thing as, what do they call those countries that don't get involved in everything? Neutral. There's no such thing as neutral countries. There's no such thing as neutral people. Every day is a choice. Good ones, bad ones. We all make them both every day. We try to make more better choices each day than we make lousy ones. We try. And the more you determine to do this and to read it and believe exactly what it says, the more you will go in that direction. Go to Romans chapter 11. See, somebody like me can talk to you about this all the time. And this is sort of like, I do this, I read these scriptures, and this is a reminder to you all. But you need to pick up the book. You need to pick up your Bible. You need to read it, and you need to go to it and ask God. This is between you and me. I need you to help me understand, teach it to me. I need you to help me get my brain wrapped around this so I can be a believer. Because that's what determines whether you're a believer or not. Not whether you sit here. Do you believe God loves you? Why? You better be able to answer it. Do you believe that he's called you? What am I supposed to be doing? Why am I called? He didn't just call and breathe hard on the end of the phone. Thought that'd get your attention. In other words, he didn't call and then there's dead air. There's a reason. Seek it. Ask for it. Pursue it. Pursue it until the day you die. Pursue it. Because the day you die, the next thing you're going to know is the kingdom to come, the Lord face to face. That ain't bad. When you die, the rest of us are sad. But you're done with your mission. You're done with your mission, with the test of this life. And the next thing you will know as a believer is the Lord face to face, entering into the kingdom, glory, honor. I mean, this is not bad. The rest of us will mourn the fact that we don't have your love and fellowship here and now. But in your relationship with God, the whole deal is, I want to live to the praise of his glory. I want to walk with my God, to do what he's called me to do. And when I go to sleep and I close my eyes, I know that in that day, I will see him face to face. And my prayer is that he says, welcome into the kingdom of your God and your Lord. So that's the Lord's perspective. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. In other words, it's all about him. Most people live their life and think it's all about them. It's all about you. And wrong answer. If you understand the truth, you realize it's all about him. And then you humble yourself to know you have a God, and he helps you do everything that you're supposed to do in this life. And it's not only a blessing to you, which it will be. But it's a blessing to him. He'll help you do it. You know, there's nothing more unselfish in life than a good parent dealing with a child. And not that I can't relate anything more unselfish. You serve them, you love them, you provide for them, you care for them, you watch over them, you direct them, you want them to succeed, and you don't want nothing back. They ain't give them. Yeah, you don't ask or require anything back for all of it. There's no way in the world I could pay my parents for what they did for me. You want to put a dollar amount on it? You want to, the prayers, the love, the provision. I mean, even physically putting a roof over my head and the food on the table. I mean, that was all for free. That's why it's a real tough transition when you go from that to taking care of your own stuff. But it has to happen. And, the parents got to make the transition with the kid. Because otherwise, life hits you in the face and you get knocked out if you're not prepared for that one. Because they got to do the same thing for theirs. There's nothing more loving or unselfish that I know of in this life than they're bad parents. I'm talking about good parents that take care of theirs. And all they want them is to succeed. To be blessed, to have the best. And even after they're grown up, for crying out loud, you're still praying for them and you still want them and you're still thinking about, I want you to have the best. I've been very thankful and very blessed to have two great kids and have that joy. I mean, some people have children that are not a joy. And not, it's life. But I have that great joy. But we worked hard for that. We did the best we could and we tried to do it by the book. That's the difference. This whole thing is about him. Romans chapter 1. That last part of that verse in Proverbs that I read talks about even the evil. It's called, he created all things. It's for his glory and even the evil. Now, that's a hard one to understand, isn't it? But it's not when you read the book, because he's given all mankind the choice from the beginning. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. Anybody. He's not hard to find. He ain't lost. You might be, but he's not. He's not hard to find. All you got to do is cry out, and you will find him. He'll make sure of it. This is not iffy. The only time that you won't is if you're not for real. You're just going through the motion. Oh, help me, but you don't really want help. He knows the difference. He's the only one in life you can't fool. The only one. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." This word is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that, what? Not just knows it, believes. And it's to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Covers everybody. There's only two kinds of people in the Bible. I know we got all kinds of different folks. You know, we got the Italians, we got the Irish, we got all kinds of, right? Nah, there's only two kinds in the Bible. There's the Jew and everybody else, the Gentile. That's the end of it from God's point of view. Since most of us ain't Jews in bloodline or background, guess what camp we belong in? The Gentiles. It's okay. It's just that the only two distinctions in the Bible. You know, it says in the book of Acts, all men are made of one blood. All men. And yet, the world that we live in, wants to make, I'm better than you for one reason or another. You know, you got the guys in Northern Ireland killing the guys in Southern Ireland. They just make stuff up as they go along. I choose to believe the scriptures. And that's just, I mean, here, that's as simple as I try to live. Does that sound simple-minded? Yes, it does to an unbeliever. Does it sound naive? Yes, it does to an unbeliever. Do you really believe God made and created everything? Yes, I do. That sounds ridiculous to those who don't believe. I made up my mind, and I'm proud of it. I am not ashamed of the gospel. You make up your mind. And if you can't quite figure it out yet, ask God to help you. It's not wrong or to not have a full answer to something yet. You just look and ask and seek. He will instruct you. If you really want to know, he will. But one way or the other, never be ashamed of him or what he says in his word. Because this is the power of God unto salvation. And if you can't trust Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, why would you trust any other verse in the Bible? It's just logical to me. If this one is a fairy tale, then why would any of the other ones not be? Like John 3:16. Make up your mind. I have. Now, that might be tough. That might be a tough thought. It's okay. I thought it was a tough thought when I started reading the Bible. But I tell you what, as the years have gone by, it's no longer a tough thought for me. None. Absolutely not. But you got to get that honest. Because when Jesus says that God created all things, he's either lying or he told the truth. And you got to get that honest. Is Jesus a liar? Everybody else in life is. You know that. I mean, we try even with each other not to screw things up with each other, but we even slip with each other and we don't even mean to. You got other people out there that do this for a living. They lie for a living. And they glory in it. Well, I'm asking you the one question that you have to truly decide if you're going to be a believer. Or, and you may not understand everything, but get it straight. Jesus Christ said God created the heavens and the earth, that all things. He gave the revelation through Romans. It's all about God to Paul. He says it in the Gospels. The prophets say it in the Old Testament. But let's just deal with Jesus. He's our Savior. Is he lying to you? Then whether I understand it or not, I have made my choice to believe him because I do not believe he lied. And I believe that Genesis 1:1 is as real and as true as John 3:16. And I have made up my mind. And that didn't come overnight. It came through prayer and reading and study and asking myself those kinds of questions. When Scripture says God loved me, I'd ask myself, do I believe that? And if I couldn't quite answer it right, you know, I couldn't quite agree at the moment, as God help me to understand this. Because I want to live there. I want to reside under your canopy of your word. So, let's just keep reading here for a minute. For I am not ashamed, I'm in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the truth, but they don't want to live it. They know the truth, but they don't want to live it. They hold it in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. All mankind's without excuse. Literally, every single soul on the face of the earth is without excuse. If you think it through, you will understand it. There's no way this whole thing of creation's an accident. Okay? You know, they push on and get into it a whole bunch, like the Big Bang Theory, right? So the only Big Bang that there ever was, like I said, I don't get it, but the only Big Bang that there ever was the voice of the Almighty saying, let there be light. And there was. Because, again, I'm not going to get into the argument. I've made up my mind. Because even their theories, which I've looked at and thought about, don't make any sense to me. An explosion, you ever see an explosion? It doesn't make order. It doesn't make life. It makes chaos. Destruction. I've never seen chaos turn into order in anything. But I don't have to go that far. Like I said, I believe God spoke it into being. I think that the unbelievers who don't give him any credit and won't give him the glory and the honor that he deserves, they're the ones that have to explain it. And they tried desperately. They tried desperately to get God out of everything. I just read something that they found the God particle. It's amazing that they had to name it that way, right? I mean, I went to school, we had atoms and protons and neutrons and electrons, and they had scientific, now we have a God particle. And again, it's what, to rob him? Even in the name of it, to rob him of his glory? That's all it is. This part is the last part of that verse in Proverbs. God's going to deal with the evil. I mean, he's got the evil around, so we're coming to that here. All right? The last part of this teaching. Even that's going to be for his glory eventually. And watch it. So these people, every single soul on the planet is without excuse. You think you can look out through these sacks of water that's in your head and you can see in 3D color better than any movie you've ever seen? Even when you get old and you need glasses, it's still better than you've ever anything else. And this just came from a boom. You need a lot of faith to have that kind of religion. Me, it's easy to have faith in God. He created it the way he wanted it. In order to believe in the whole scientific gig, you have to have so much more faith than me. So much more. I mean, really, when you think this thing through. So, figure it out. I've already made up my mind. Sounds simplistic and moronic to those of you who are listening to me who don't believe, because it's going to go out on the tape sooner or later. Well, I don't care. I am a blessed man. I got peace. What do you got? What do you got? People who don't believe in God don't have this kind of steadfastness in faith. You don't have any peace. All you got is a hole in the ground. And on your deathbed, you wonder what's going to happen. That's not a good place to be. I feel sorry for you. Mankind is without excuse, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful, but they became vain in their own imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. They professed themselves to be wise, and in doing so, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the images like unto corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, into creeping things. You can go through the museum and see all the gods that used to be. And people, you know, I remember going with Christine one day, and there was this little green copper statue, this little green guy, big old pot belly with a plate. And he's there, and I thought to myself, and he's there in the, you know, the display case. And I thought, nobody even knows this character's name anymore. Somebody prayed to him, probably burnt stuff, offered things on the plate, wasted their money. And nobody even knows this thing's name. In fact, it was in the ground and somebody dug it up and put it in a, cleaned it up and put it in a display case. Some idiot prayed to this thing. That's sad. You made it, you carved it out, and then you prayed to it? There's something wrong with this picture? God says it in Jeremiah. He says, you take a tree that I made, you cut the tree down, you make a piece of your God out of it, and then you burn the rest for dinner. And you pray to this thing that you made with your hand of the tree which I provided. It just doesn't make much sense, does it? Again, it's believer, unbeliever, to rob God of his glory or to give it to him. But all mankind's without excuse. And then when he deals with all mankind, we're going to jump ahead here a little bit. It's going to be for his glory. And even all of those which despised him, and they rejected him, that who are without excuse, they will face him one day. They will face him. And it says here in chapter 2, you know, you read that the whole thing of chapter 1 and so, but, you know, in verse 3 it says, thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things? And does the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and your impenitent heart, you treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing, they seek for glory and for honor and immortality, they get eternal life. To those of us who struggle, and we do, and we seek by patient continuance. Another way of saying, you know, you're going to stick to this thing. You're going to do well-doing. They receive glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. But to them that are contentious and obey not the truth, everybody who thinks, you know, the little guy with the little green fat belly God with the plate. And everybody else who thinks that, you know, science is their savior. And just don't want to give the credit at all to God. Or any of the rest of them who just want to do their own thing. But to them that are contentious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they're going to receive indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. He's got no distinction. Jew, Gentile, you choose well, glory, honor, peace in your life. Choose bad, tribulation, anguish. Not going to be pretty. You and I have seen that in our own lives. When we have chosen well, we have gotten pretty good results. When we choose wrong, it wrecks a lot of things. And sometimes that train wreck happens for years. The consequences of it. I know. I've got my own. You've got your own. So the point is, choose today. Choose today. Even the evil. Nobody's getting away with anything. Nobody's getting away with anything. Even that will be for God's glory in the future. Even that. Because everybody is going to know that he is God. And there's no getting away with it. And why does he put up with it right now? Why really does he put up with it? Jesus Christ told us this. He told us this. If you go there, go to Matthew. We'll close there in Matthew with the parable of the tares. It's a question that people ask all the time. Why is there such evil in the world? What do I do with it? Matthew chapter 13, I think. Yep. Verse 24. Jesus Christ was talking about the parables of the kingdom of God. It says, in another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came, and he sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then cometh the tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Do we pull the weeds now? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. So later on, Jesus spoke a couple of more parables. And the smart people, his disciples, the reason he spoke in parables was actually to weed out the merely curious from those who really wanted to know. If you're just curious, he didn't want to deal with you. But the people who really wanted to know, verse 37. Well, 36, it says, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him and said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And they said, teach me. This is what you do with God. This is what you do with his word. You ask. You know, a child doesn't learn by osmosis. Just because they're hanging out with you didn't mean they learned anything. You don't learn that way either. You got to ask. And then he graciously responds to your request. He will teach you. And he answered them and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Why does God put up, and says in Romans, I'm not going to go there, it's in Romans chapter 9, you can read it if you're curious. It says, God has chosen to be long-suffering, to put up with the evil that's in this world, so that you are not lost. See, me, maybe you, if we had God's thoughts and looked down on the earth, maybe during the Roman Empire, I would have wiped the whole thing out. This is what they're going to do? See, I would have let it go with the whole flood. Just take out 8 more. Man's been evil in the majority. You want majority rule? Oh, it's going to be pretty. In the majority, man's evil is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Beyond my... chill my bones. And why does God put up with this? Why does he allow it, what most people complain about? Because he doesn't want to kill his children. He doesn't want one of them to be lost. He'll take care of business. He will take care of business. And it's coming at the end. But he didn't want one of you to get lost because he takes care of something that somebody else did. See, I'm not that smart. If I was God, I would have wiped out the Roman Empire. I would have wiped out the Babylonian Empire. I would have wiped out the Persian Empire. There wouldn't have been a lot of empires. But then there wouldn't have been a Daniel. Then there wouldn't have been a Paul or a Peter or a Philemon. See, God's so big, merciful. Is he offended by all of this? Yes, he is. Is he powerless? No, he's not. He's just long-suffering. Because he loves you, his called, more than he hates the evil. And he will wait until the time. And then, believe me, he will mercilessly take care of the evil and give them exactly what they deserve. And he'll even raise the ones that died and kill them again. It's called the resurrection of the unjust. Because nobody is going to get away with it. Nobody. And that's righteous. See, that's righteous. That's loving. That's real justice. That's what I wanted to share with you.